Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Hi again. Last week, we were talking with Jeff Baylor, who's the regional manager of the U.S. Census for the Northeast region out of the New York office, covering most of the northeastern states. And Jeff was telling us about the various ways that the Census Bureau is going to be collecting data on our population coming up in the year 2020. First will be mailers that will be going out early next year. Then after that, when they didn't get the mailers back, there will be some opportunities to get the data in by other means. So,
how far do you go? I was just curious about the logistics of having to drive 50 miles to talk to one family in one house. I mean, that could be a possibility, right?
If they don't go online or call it in over the phone or fill it out on paper and return it, we will go and visit that particular household. We have different operations throughout the area. In some areas that are very rural that don't receive mail, maybe P.O. boxes, mm-hmm. we'll hand-deliver questionnaires to those community members. There's other more remote areas like remote Alaska, remote Maine, northern Maine, in which we're going to go in there with employees, and sometimes they have to rent snowmobiles or walk a couple miles because it's a two-track or a one-track to get in there. But we'll do whatever it takes to make sure we get an opportunity for that household to participate in the 2020 census.
Now, of interest to some of our listeners who are math geeks, when this information is all collated, it's all collected, it's all collated, how then does it come out, and to whom does it go?
Yeah. So the first data that we release is to the President of the United States, and by law, that has to be done by December 31st of 2020. After that, the next deadline is March 31st of 2021, and that deadline is we have to provide the data to every state so they can start their redistricting process. Shortly after that, that we'll then have data sets that will be available to the public, starting at very high levels of geography. And then as we get through the year and the following year, we'll break out things by age and race and ethnicity and different kind of categories at lower levels of geography.
Is it some sort of an official final document that gets issued that everybody at some point will have access to?
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll be iterations of that because, again, when we release the data, it's available to everyone. It's not just certain people that get access to it. And, again, the data is statistical information. So it's not names. It's not addresses. We never share that information with anyone, not with the president, not with the states when we give them their redistricting data. It's specifically statistical information at some level of geography, whether that's the state, a city, a county, a congressional district, a census tract level.
And the ability to use this information doesn't require any particular licensure or anything, like some research companies will require you to pay them to use quotes or to use their data or to use their graphs.
Right.
This belongs to the people, correct?
It does belong to the people, and that's a great point. There are a lot of private organizations who are taking publicly available Census Bureau data, packaging it up, and selling it. And we have a great website, data.census.gov. I would urge everyone to go online, check it out. And we have a program in there. We have a data dissemination program. So we have about 36 data dissemination specialists across the nation. Their sole job is to teach the public how to access our data, to see what's available, and it's free. And we want to make sure people understand that resources is there. That one of the most popular workshops that the data dissemination specialists do are grant writing workshops. We don't teach people how to write a grant. We teach them how to find that very specific piece of data they need to tell their story.
Something we haven't touched on is how useful the census information is for business.
Absolutely. I just came from a meeting earlier this morning in Abney with a whole bunch of business leaders and chambers of commerce and talking about the importance of business. You know, businesses need to understand who their customer base are, you know, the demographics of who they're reaching out to. If they're considering expanding, they need to know they're going to be able to employ people in whatever areas they're looking. And they want to see, is there a need for, you know, whatever the widget I have that I'm selling, is there a need in that community? There, you know, CDBG grants, there's a lot of useful information for businesses to really determine for the next 10 years, how are we going to grow? Where are we going to move to?
Final issue and the final part of this. Thank you for being with us today. Jeff Baylor from the Census Bureau. Is the use of the data in funding. Mm-hmm. Your data goes to a lot of departments of the government and beyond that will affect funding for projects from coast to coast. Tell me how that works.
Yeah, so federal agencies release or have their own formulas for counting. So whether we're talking about Medicaid or National School Lunch Program, Highway Planning and Construction, all these agencies that disseminate these fundings to our communities are using formulas, and those formulas use census data. So a great study was done by the George Washington Institute on Public Policy and Research called Counting for Dollars. And they determined that the state of New York in fiscal year 16 received over $73 billion of federal funding for the largest 55 federally funded programs. And again, these are programs the Census Bureau is not releasing information, not releasing monies or calculating it. We're just providing the data so that they can plop it into their formulas and determine how much money each community is going to receive. But it's healthcare, it's education, Title I grants. I mean, all these critical programs to our communities are based upon formulas using census data. So what that means is there's an undercount. If people don't think they need to fill out the form or they need to include their children or their parents who may be living with them, they have to include everyone because this count will determine the amount of funds your community will receive for the next 10 years. We get one opportunity to get it right.
Right down to the class size of an elementary school.
Absolutely. How are you going to know what resources you need unless you can see, you know, what your needs are at that particular time? And that's really what a census is. It's an opportunity for communities to be recognized, for communities to plan for the future.
One or two questions that our listeners and other members of our team have asked me to bring forward is the subject of citizenship. Mm-hmm. When you go into a household, are there any requirements in that regard?
So the only requirement we have per the Constitution, Article 1, Section 2, is that we count everyone living in the United States. We do not care if someone is here legally or illegally. We don't ask that question. There is no citizenship question on the 2020 census. What we care is that everyone who's living at that address gets included on the census form. This is extremely important. Even if you have multiple families living in a single family unit, I know we've heard concerns. Some people say, well, you know, I turned my garage into an apartment and it's illegally subdivided. We don't care. We can't share that information. What we care is that both families get included on the census because of those critical programs that are going to be based upon that count.
And for our community, Chinese American community, we find a lot of multi-generational households with parents, grandparents, children, you know, all, you know, in the same space. So it's important. Who do you talk to? Do you talk to head of household or whoever opens the door? What's your protocol for determining who gets to answer?
Yeah, typically with the self-response, so the online, the over the phone or on paper, it's whoever considers themselves the head of household. We don't ask for a particular person. We don't send it to a particular name. We just send it to an address. It's really up to the family to determine who's the first person on the form. I know in past censuses, I filled out my section. My wife filled out hers. And my two daughters filled out theirs. We made it fun.
Sure.
When we go knocking on the door, we do look for someone who's 16 years of age or older in order to respond for the family. But we also understand, especially in some language where English is not the first language spoken in the home, we can speak to children who can translate for us in order to ensure everyone gets included on that census response.
You mentioned knocking on the door. One quick question. What sort of identification will census employees carry?
Yeah, so we'll have picture IDs, official Census Bureau Commerce Department photo IDs. They'll also be carrying a smartphone with a commerce seal on it. We don't share exactly what the ID looks like because we're worried that some bad actor may take that and try to, you know, start creating some fake badges. But we're going to have information. We have a fraud line set up that if anyone has any concern at all about the person who's knocking on the door, reach out to us. We'll do the validation. But better yet, go online, call it in over the phone, fill it out on paper, and we don't have a need to knock on a person's door to collect that information.
One final quick question, and it just occurred to me because during 2020, we're going to be in an election cycle, mm-hmm. and there's going to be an enormous amount of polling by various organizations going on, and you wouldn't want to get confused with them, right?
That's correct. We really are an apolitical operation. We don't follow parties. We have to count everyone, period. That's our goal. So there may be a lot of mixed or missed messages out there. Our job at the Census Bureau is to ensure that people understand truly what the census is, what are the questions we're asking, why it's so important, the different methods, how easy it will be for people to fill it out this time around. And we'll be working with local partners, radio stations and newsprint and church leaders and business owners. They are the trusted voices that will help to get the message out so people truly understand what the census is.
Our guest this week, Jeff Baylor, who's the regional director here in the New York office, which is for the entire Northeast United States. Thank you very much for coming by. You've got a very robust website that has a lot of Q&A and opportunities there. Tell our listeners how they can find out any other information.
Yeah, absolutely. Please check out 2020census.gov. We have a whole bunch of materials for our partnership program. We have recruitment toolkits. We have social media toolkits. We have one-pagers and half-pagers for different audiences, such as certain minority groups or LGBTQ+ organizations, for business owners, for migrant workers, for landlords. We have just different things that people can use as a resource. It's really important. We're trying to create the most robust toolkit so that really partners can pick and choose what works well for their community. And then we want to work with them on what's the best way to get that message to their community via radio, via newsprint, maybe a local 15-second PSA on a favorite radio station for that particular community in language. You can also go online at 2020census.gov and apply for jobs. So again, we want people to work in their own communities, who speak the language, who understand the culture. All throughout New York City, we're paying $25 an hour. It's a great gig job. Mm-hmm. So, you don't have to quit your full 40-hour week job to work for us. You can work nights and weekends and be successful. You choose your own hours, and we'll match work or give you work that kind of matches your schedule.
Is there a specific portal on the 2020 Census website for jobs, and how do they apply? Is there like an online app?
Yeah, so it's via online. You would apply online. You can go to 2020census.gov or 2020census.gov/jobs. But there's a button on the main page if you're interested in applying for a job. It takes about 20 minutes or so. You create an account. You enter in some basic demographic information, take a short assessment. You put on there what kind of jobs you want to be considered for, field, yeah. Whether you want to be considered for supervisory positions. Mm-hmm. Again, it takes about 20 minutes. You apply once, and that's good for the life cycle of the census. So as soon as work becomes available in your local area, we pick up the phone and start making calls, offering people job opportunities.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I think our audience now is at least a little better enlightened than they were a while ago. And for more information, of course, the website is going to be there, and it'll be updated regularly. You can even sign up for sort of a newsletter or release.
Sign up to be a partner, and you'll get a newsletter, and you'll see what partners throughout our region are doing to help support the census.
Great. Well, thank you so much for doing this, and I look forward to following up with the census once we get rolling. And the folks are going to be hearing more about it here on China America Radio for our Chinese American community. Very important that they get counted. And, of course, many of the Chinese communities are going to be working with you to help make sure people do not fear the census taker.
Yeah, we appreciate that. We certainly know you're a trusted voice, and we appreciate you working with us to ensure we get the most complete and accurate count.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Listen again next Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern for another edition of Spectrum. To hear previously broadcast editions of Spectrum, visit the Spectrum tab on our website to listen or download your favorite past programs. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Spectrum. Now, back to the music on China America Radio.